الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we are at that time of the year wherein various groups of Hujjaj are departing and undertaking that auspicious journey to Mubarak holy lands of Makkatul Mukarramah. And this is a very, very momentous occasion. And it is such an occasion that it is a desire of each and every believer to undertake this journey. But as we know, it is not something, or it is not an occasion or a journey that everyone is given that opportunity, but we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala grants us all that opportunity of undertaking this journey of Hajj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Hajj was made fard, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed just one Hajj. And this Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place less than 3 months prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving this temporary world. To be precise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away exactly 81 days after the day of Arafah. And on this Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a lot of pertinent advices. In our understanding, these were like parting advices that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hold firm onto these advices, as these advices will be beneficial for each ummati of this coming of this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada', that is the farewell Hajj, were recorded by the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in at various places that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the Sahaba on the day of Eidul Adha. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks this galaxy of Sahaba that were present. Over 100,000 Sahaba were present on that day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses them and inquires from them, asks them a question, that what day is this? The Sahaba replied that it is a sacred day. Thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again asks them another question, that what month is this? The reply was given that it is a sacred month. And the question was given that what place is this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them the question that what place is this? So the Sahaba replied that it is a sacred place. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba that inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radukum alaykum haramun, that verily your blood, that is the blood of a Muslim, The wealth of a Muslim and the honor of a Muslim is also sacred. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. Just like how this day is sacred, and just like how this place is sacred, that day was a very, very Mubarak and a blessed day, and it was a sacred day, it was a day on such a day wherein fighting was not permitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these 4 months in the Quran Majid, that in عِدَّةَ الشُّهُرِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ 12 شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. That the calendar, Islamic calendar, consists of 12 months. And from amongst the 12 months, 4 months are regarded as sacred. It is not permitted to fight in those 4 months. Zulqa'dah, the month that we find ourselves in, it is a sacred month. Zulhijjah, Muharram, and the fourth month being Rajab. So these were 4 sacred months. So the Sahaba replied that this is a sacred month, it is a sacred day. Together with that, it was in the Haram. The Haram is a sacred place. You cannot kill and fight in the Haram. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after drawing the attention of the Sahaba to the place, the month, and the day being sacred, mentions that the blood of a Muslim is also sacred. You cannot spill the blood of a Muslim unjustly. The wealth of a Muslim, you cannot usurp the wealth of a Muslim unlawfully. You cannot do him down in any way. If he is owed money, payment should not be delayed. In a hadith that explains this, that matalul ghani zulmun, that if a person is being owed money and the payment is being delayed, then that is an oppression. You are oppressing your fellow Muslim brother. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions regarding the honor of a believer, the honor, the integrity of a believer. A Muslim should be respected at all times. His honor should be respected. Just like how you would respect the month and the day and the place, like that you have to respect your fellow Muslim brother also. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar further explains this in another hadith. He mentions that he was making tawaf with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as they were making tawaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the Kaaba and addresses the Kaaba and says that, O Kaaba, how marvelous you are. Ma atyaba rihuk, how beautiful is the scent that is emanating from the Kaaba. What a wonderful and marvelous great building it is. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِي, that I take a qasam in that being, in that dhat, I take a qasam in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The honor of a believer is more greater than the Kaaba also. In other words, to harm a Muslim brother, to attack the honor of a believer, is even more severe and even more harmful than destroying the Kaaba. Such is the respect and the honor of a believer. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the Muslim ummah is one. It is like one body. The entire Muslim ummah is like one body. And when this body experiences any difficulty, then the entire body experiences, the entire form experiences. It is not that you exclude it from the body. If your eyes are paining, or your hand is paining, or you're experiencing a headache, you cannot exclude that pain from your body. It is your whole body suffers. Someone has a headache, such a severe headache, then the entire body will go and lie down and take a break. So like that, the whole Muslim ummah is also one. If any part of this Muslim ummah experiences any difficulty and hardship, any pain and suffering, we as Muslims throughout the world have to feel the pain and the suffering of our fellow Muslim brothers, like how our Muslim brothers and sisters are experiencing difficulties throughout the world, specifically in Gaza. Daily we are receiving these reports of the atrocities that have been committed against them. And when we hear these atrocities, then naturally we feel their pain and their suffering. Naturally our mood changes. And we always thinking how we can assist them. We try our best in assisting them. We make dua for them. And whatever other ways we try and assist them. Why? Because they are our fellow Muslim brothers. And we feel their pain, their suffering. So on the one hand, when we see Muslims suffering, we feel their pain and their suffering. But friends and elders, very, very unfortunately, the Muslim Ummah is suffering. Is facing emotional suffering. Sometimes a Muslim goes through difficulties in his life. And we might know of him. But rather than protecting the honor of a Muslim, we are ready to harm our Muslim brother. Harm our fellow Muslim brother. Attack his honor, attack his dignity, attack his respect. At times, maybe that fault or that shortcoming is found in him. But as Muslims, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُهُ Allah Ta'ala talks about the incident in the Quran that took place regarding Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, our respected and beloved mother. And what is our duty and our responsibility? If we hear anything wrong about our fellow Muslim brother, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا Our first duty, our first responsibility is to think good about our fellow Muslim brother. Unfortunately, today we make up rumors about one another. May Allah protect us and guide us and save us all. And we find the loss and the suffering, the difficulty and the hardship of our fellow Muslim brothers. Unfortunately, we find it as a source of entertainment for ourselves. How weak we have become. This was the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given on this momentous occasion of Hajjatul Wada', that the honor of a Muslim is sacred. It should be protected. We should find an excuse for our fellow Muslim brother. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينٌ Look, if there is any proof in it, if you find a loophole for him, and dismiss it as a slander. Advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave regarding treating the fellow Muslim brother. Three times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah la tazlimu, Allah la tazlimu, Allah la tazlimu. That do not oppress, do not oppress, do not oppress. Be kind to your fellow Muslim brothers. And this is so severe in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that أَظُلْمُ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That oppression on the day of Qiyamah will be in a form of darkness. And in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that there are three categories of people whose dua is not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzat will accept their dua. And who are those three categories of people? The first category is Imamun Adilun, a just leader, a just ruler. His dua is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? What is the reason behind it? Naturally, when a person has some sort of authority and some sort of power and some sort of control over others, he's granted some sort of power over others in whatever aspect it might be. When a person has power and control, then the tendency develops inside him to abuse this power and this authority and this control. But now, despite this person having this power and this control and this authority over others, he still has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is kind to those that are under him. He is kind to those where he has control over. He treats insan kindly, fairly and justly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this action so much that Allah ta'ala accepts his duas. On the contrary, is the dua of an oppressed person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith mentions that fear the dua of an oppressed person. The curses of an oppressed person. Why? His dua will go straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ hijab. Between his dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. His dua goes straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By oppressing a person, we are earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves. We do not know what pain and what cry is in his heart. Amr bin Malik mentions regarding a man from amongst the Bani Israel. He mentions that there was one man who was walking around on the seashore aimlessly. And as he's walking around, he's shouting out that let me serve as an example for that person who would like to oppress. Let me serve as an example for that person who would like to oppress. So people went up to him and inquired from him that what are you saying? You are an example for that person who would like to oppress. So he mentions his story. He says, once upon a time, I was a policeman. Allah Ta'ala had given me power and strength, authority over people. And I was patrolling this very same shore that you are seeing. And one evening, just prior to going home, I see this fisherman bringing his boat. And he had a lot of fish in his net. As he's emptying out the fish from his net, so I went up to him and he wanted fish. So he declined. Thereafter I fought. First I asked him to give it to me. He declined. Then I asked him to sell it to me. He still declined. Thereafter I took my whip. I struck him on his head. And I forcefully took this fish away from him. After harming him, I took this fish away from him. And I didn't think anything about it. On my way home, as I was holding this fish, it gripped my thumb into its mouth. It caught hold of my thumb. And I tried to remove my thumb from its mouth. I was unable to do so. When I go home, my family members, they assist me. And after much difficulty, I managed to free my thumb out of the mouth of this fish. And when I removed my thumb, I noticed that there was a wound there. So initially I tried to treat it at home, but after a little while I noticed that it was not healing, it was continuing. And my thumb had become very, very swollen. And I was experiencing a lot of difficulty. So I decided to visit a doctor, and when I showed him this thumb, he told me that it has become very septic, and if I do not amputate my thumb, it's going to spread further and cause me further harm. So reluctantly I had to have my thumb amputated. But he mentioned that he did not stop there, it continued. Thereafter my entire wrist became swollen. And I was experiencing more difficulty. So he mentions that once again I went to this doctor and I showed him the difficulty that I'm experiencing. So this doctor tells me that now, regretfully, you will have amputated your entire hand by your wrist. So I had to allow him, despite not being happy. The doctor advised me that if I do not do it, then it will spread further. So he mentions that after doing it, after a little while he realized that now the bottom half of his arm is now becoming septic and is also swelling. So again he went back to the doctor. And thereafter the bottom part of his arm was amputated. And he mentions that it continued like this. Now when I went and visited the doctor again, he told me my forearm will have to be amputated. When I heard this, I could not take it anymore. So he mentions that I ran out of the doctor's room screaming. I ran out screaming. Like a madman, I ran out screaming. And I continued running the entire day like a mad person. And eventually I became tired. So I took rest against a tree. And as I was lying against this tree, with my back against this tree, I fell asleep in this condition. And in my dream, I see a person comes in my dream. And this person is telling me now, when are you going to realize the reason behind all this happening to you? When are you going to realize why all this is happening to you? And when are you going to ask the person whom you oppressed for forgiveness? So he mentions that I woke up from my dream, immediately now I realized why all this is taking place, why all this is happening. So I went in search of that fisherman, and I found him in the exact same place where I had met him previously. So I go up to him and I rush up to him. And I introduce myself, he could not recognize me. I show him my arm. And I mention that this is what is happening. So he looks at me, and thereafter he raises his hands up in dua, and he forgives me. This policeman mentions that no sooner had this fisherman made this dua and forgiven me, my hand became cured. And this fisherman mentions that this is not justice. This policeman was about to depart. So he calls back this policeman and says, this is not justice. I cursed you for one thing, but look at the difficulty and the hardship you are experiencing. So he calls, the fisherman calls the policeman home. He tells him, come with me home. So he takes him to his house. He asks his son to dig up one corner in the home, and they remove 30,000 gold coins. So he takes 10,000 gold coins and he gives it to the policeman and says, then use this for yourself. He takes another 10,000 gold coins and gives it to him and tells him, go and distribute it amongst your poor friends and family and your neighbors, etc. So as the policeman is about to depart, he comes back and he asks the fisherman, that tell me something, you said that you had cursed me. How did you curse me? What dua did you make against me? So this fisherman tells the policeman that on that day when you abused me, when you abused me and you oppressed me on that day, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Allah, you have made him strong, you have made me weak. I'm strong, you have made me weak. You have given him power and authority over me. Because of that power and that authority, he is now abusing me. And oh my Allah, I am unable, I am too weak to retaliate and defend and protect myself. Oh my Allah, you be for me. You be my assistant in this matter. And you retaliate on my behalf. And he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah, make him as an example for humanity to come, not to oppress anyone. How careful we have to be of the dua of an oppressed person. Many a times we have those under us. We do not realize we're experiencing difficulties and hardship in our lives. We do not realize the reasoning behind it. We do not realize the wrong that we have done. As a result, outwardly we might be feeling that we are enjoying the ni'mats and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there might be shortcomings and difficulties in the hardships in our lives. So we have to introspect and look at all this. So this was a result of oppression. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, stressed upon this. 3 times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that do not oppress one another. Do not oppress one another. Do not oppress one another. On this Mubarak occasion, on this momentous occasion, this galaxy of Sahaba that were present, that this was advices for those Sahaba and for humanity come to till the day of Qiyamah, that to treat our fellow Muslim brothers kindly, to protect the izzat, the respect, the honor of a believer, and to feel in the pain and the suffering of a believer. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat removes the sufferings of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala guide us, and may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to treat one another in a way that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.